Origami, the ancient art of paper folding, is popular all over the world as a way of relaxing or expressing creativity. But a new type of origami, which is making waves in science, celebrates its 10th anniversary this year. Georgia has the story.
Scientists in Cambridge are currently using origami to make structures which could change the face of drug delivery. There's just one twist. It's not paper they're using.
We're assembling DNA into arbitrary two- and three-dimensional shapes on the nanoscale. So we are literally building with the building blocks of nature, so to speak.
That's Kirsten Gerpfrig, who's working on this technique at the Cavendish Lab in Cambridge, and she kindly agreed to show me around. But first, I wanted to know why anyone would want to use DNA to build with.
What makes DNA a good building structure is, first of all, its availability. It's safe to use, you get it everywhere. It's very cheap and it's very easy to process. It's quite stable and we can program its assembly. And that's, of course, the big plus. You can program assembly with near atomic precision. So how do you fold a piece of DNA? Let me take out a piece of Velcro tape, actually, because I really like to use that for explanation. So imagine you had a long piece of Velcro tape, which is basically a long single strand of DNA. It's very floppy. But now imagine you had a short piece of DNA, a short piece of Velcro tape, which matches the long one at one side and, say, at a distant end. By doing that, you can pull the long piece together and now you've got something like a loop just made from Velcro tape. Now, with many short pieces of Velcro tape, you could essentially fold the long piece up into any shape. And here, this is a bit broken, but you see, you can make a flower or a clove by attaching a few pieces of Velcro tape together. And this is exactly how DNA origami works. You take a long single strand of DNA and you fold it up using short pieces, which we call staples.
The four letters that form DNA, they're A, T, G, and C, they like to stick to one another. G always sticks to C, and A always sticks to T. And these are known as the base pairs. So if you use this knowledge, you can design sections of the DNA strand that will always like to stick to one another, and this would make the DNA automatically fold up on itself, which can be used to build any structure you like. So if I wanted to fold some DNA into the origami classic shape of a crane, how would I go about it?
Today, you just go online, you download a program which is actually available for free. And in this program, it's just a 3D drawing software. So you literally draw the shape you want. So you can literally draw a single strand of DNA, and then it appears in the 3D view.
Once Kirsten has drawn the right shape, she sends off the specifications to a company who then synthesize the DNA with the right pattern of base pairs needed. They then send it back to her in a small white box, which can then be processed in the lab.
This is the DNA room, and as you can see, it's not very exciting. There are lots of fridges and freezers, which we use to store the DNA. And I will go to one of those now, and I'll show you the little box in which the DNA comes. Here. In every single one of the wells here, we've got one DNA sequence. And now we can take a pipette and we would use this pipette to mix all the different sequences together, essentially.
This is like no pipette I've ever seen.
Oh, this has 12 tips, so you know, so that you don't have to do them one by one, every single one. We just get 12 at the same time.
So you're so busy here, you need work. 12 in one pipette.
Yes, you know, we don't have a pipetting robot yet. So once we've mixed all the bits and pieces of DNA together, we put them in a small tube like this one here. And then we put them into this machine, which looks fancy, but all it is actually just an oven. So it's called thermocycler, but it just heats the DNA up, cools it down slowly, and as it cools down, you know, it forms the pre-designed shape.
Why does heating it up and cooling it down help the individual strands form into whatever shape you've made?
You just give it a bit of energy so that when the DNA is already coiled up a bit, you know, it can straighten out. And by cooling it down, you allow the DNA double helices to form.
After seeing the lab, I was satisfied I knew roughly how to make a DNA crane. What I wasn't clear on is why anyone would want to do this.
This is a great example of how, you know, something which might seem like art, which might seem like, you know, a scientist playing around, can be transformed into something real and into something which does have applications in the real world. So it is simply a way of assembling atoms with near atomic precision. And in my lab, we're using DNA origami to make small channels or pipes, which can punch holes into membranes and into the envelope which surrounds a cell. And we're doing that because 50% of the drugs that we currently use target channels in cells. So just imagine what you could do if you could create artificial channels exactly the way you want them.
So it'd be a way of drug delivery.
Could be a way of drug delivery. It could be a way of simply understanding a process which is really fundamental in biology, namely the way cells communicate.
As well as potential medical applications, the technique has also been used to build tiny basic computers and also nanoscale rulers. And while paper origami is hundreds of years old, DNA origami celebrates its 10th birthday this year. So new possibilities for applications are still being dreamt up. And as far as Kirsten is concerned, the sky is the limit.
Like, one day origami might even save a life, is what paper origami artist Robert Lang once said. And, you know, one day I hope the same may be true for DNA origami in a way.
Kirsten Gerpfrick and her awesome 12-in-1 pipetta at the Cavendish Lab in Cambridge on the 10-year anniversary of DNA origami.